patreon.com/lineuplogic. Get over there. One of the things that you are going to see up there right now is a free preview of our Masters cheat sheet and model by Mike and Alex. They break it down for both websites, FD and DK. They classify their plays, course killer, value, perfect on paper. So guys who have a perfect profile, great course history, give you a nice, easy reference. And then they have lineup course. So four to five key golfers that they're including in their FanDuel and DraftKings lineups, as well as Alex's model, which he's worked on and refined for, you know, the last three seasons of DFS golf. We're giving away that this weekend for free. Now, if you want to get all in PGA, MLB, and NBA stuff, which our NBA's content's still there, right? I mean, all of our cheat sheets, our models, everything's still live. Like, people are still making money. Kenny scored 400 points last night. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Get involved before it's too late and support the show. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel and DraftKings. I am your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a much more reasonably sized slate. For those of us who are breaking these slates down, we are deeply thankful for the fact that it is not once again a 13-game slate. I said 14 yesterday. It was a 13-game slate. Instead, we are looking at a six-gamer. Nice six-game slate. Good size, some good games, some bad games, some tough games to project, a couple back-to-backs specifically that are going to be hard to project. Back-to-backs for San Antonio and Miami, San Antonio, Miami, Atlanta. The Atlanta-Miami, just a flip-flop back-to-back series, it's kind of interesting. Miami's done that a couple times this year, which I don't know really why, but we'll get a rematch of Boston-Toronto. That should be competitive. And Dallas and Orlando, as well as Philadelphia, all on back-to-backs here. So some interesting spots. We'll have to try to kind of play some guessing games unless we get some clear news, which this late in the season, clear news is, you know, your hunch is almost as good as clear news sometimes with certain teams. So, we'll go with what we know, and we'll work off some assumptions of some other players, or try to make some assumptions about playing time and rotations and things of that nature. But we'll break it down. We'll give you guys game by game preview, injuries, all that good stuff. And then we'll jump in to the player breakdown and figure out exactly who we love and who we want to build out our rosters with. Let's go ahead and not waste any time. Take a look at tonight's slate. Okay, first game of the night. I mentioned this. Miami and Atlanta going back to back, which is just kind of a strange thing, but they are going to go back to back. They will be playing this one in Atlanta. This is after playing it in Miami. Yeah, it's a pretty easy flight, actually. This is a 204 total here. Miami is favored by 8. It was strange. I mean, at first half, Atlanta kept this close, and then second half, totally changed. Damian Lee had a game, 40 fantasy points for him last night. I would not expect to see that again. Josh Richardson struggled in the first half, came alive in the second. It was a spot for the Heat that I think, you know, and Goran Dragic had a game too across just 28 minutes. It was a spot for the Heat where I think they probably wish they had come out a little bit stronger. Their bench did not play particularly well, but they got the win. They're good with that. As far as rotations go here, Hassan Whiteside had a nice 40-point game. Kelly Olynyk only 20 minutes off the bench. He seems to be now firmly behind Whiteside in the rotation. James Johnson, a fantasy point per minute, but only 30 minutes last night. Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow disappointed for sure. I would expect to see a little bit of extra run for Justice Winslow tonight, but that's again a hunch, right? We're not going to get any clear news of that here. You could also see some extra run for Bam Adebayo. hunch. I'm not really sure what we would see there exactly. But Miami should be able to get this win, continue to cement their seed in the Eastern Conference there. They think they're currently sitting at a sixth seed. So that would be my guess, is that where they'll finish about thereabouts in the bottom half there. On the Atlanta side of things, nothing is a very good matchup. Damian Lee has been surprisingly effective. Isaiah Taylor, a little bit overpriced for the production ceiling that you are going to get here. He's 6K. I'm not going to pay 6K, even though you're going to get plenty of good run against Miami's point guard. It just doesn't interest me that much. I mentioned Damian Lee. Tyler Dorsey also played a ton of minutes. Torian Prince is now scaling back, which is interesting. It seems like they are really going towards the young fellas to see what they have here. Dwayne Dedmon did not play. My guess is Dedmon will play tonight, which makes him kind of interesting. Muscala played a ton of minutes last night. Collins played a ton of minutes last night. So let's see if we get any specific news about who is going to play, who is not going to play. And we'll see what the story is on Atlanta's rotation. I'm not going to particularly be too interested in some of them unless we find some more value. Damian Lee is 40 points. Spoelstra and the Heat are good enough that they're going to say, let's watch the film on this kid, and let's watch, somebody's going to watch the film on what he did to them last night, and he's going to say, okay, here's what he's doing, 1, 2, 3. These are the moves. Counter this with this. Let's make sure we set up that when he gets the ball. It's not going to happen again. That's just my thought here. I mean, he's a good player, but this is Eric Spoelstra and a Heat defense that has been, basically top 10 for the last, every time under his rule. Moving over to Orlando, Dallas will go. By the way, if you have not seen the Dennis Smith alley-oop to himself bounce pass dunk, just go ahead, write Donovan Mitchell a warm but regretful email to tell him that, listen, we're going to have to take part of your dunk contest trophy under consideration here, because Dennis Smith is on a revenge tour. Insane. Insanity. On the fast break, ball bounces out way in front of him. He gets one good hand on it and it's kind of out of control, right? He gets one good hand on it in the paint, throws down a massive dribble, bounces it straight up in the air at the rim, elevates, and throws it down. Kid is insane. He's a rookie, and we just pretend like he doesn't exist because he's so damn good right now. Nobody cares. Nobody's talking about how Dennis Smith has basically become a serviceable NBA point guard. Bad team, sure, but a very serviceable NBA point guard at the age of 20 years old, and he's electrifying Dallas fans. Like, kid is good. They'll play the Magic tonight. 201 total here. Dallas favored by one. And actually, DSJ will be out. So as much as we would rush in to play DSJ, DSJ will sit this one out. Sore knee for him. So what are we doing at the point guard position? JJ Barea, Yogi Ferrell, and those guys will play. Dorian Finney-Smith likely to play at the two a little bit. Now, there's one other gentlemen in this rotation that you need to be aware of and you need to be careful about, and that is not Antonius Cleveland, Andrew's twin, right? Aaron Harrison is back in this rotation and he is playing some minutes, and so we have to be aware that he's probably going to play 22 minutes. It's really hard to make heads or tails of what is going to happen here. I would lean towards JJ. I'm going to lean towards Barea, but he's also the most expensive. I'm not going to attack Dorian Finney-Smith. He's not an offensively minded player. He's going to defer to other guys. I would lean towards JJ. Yogi Ferrell is second. Unless we get the word that Aaron Harrison is starting, then maybe I would look towards Aaron Harrison as well. But be careful with this rotation. There's enough guards to make them all kind of not valuable, if you understand what I mean. On the Orlando side of things, rotation is clear. Unless we have some people sitting out, I wouldn't really necessarily worry too much about these Orlando players. it's hard to predict who's going to do well, who's not going to do well. You play the matchup, you know, I mean, really, that's what it is. You got to play the positionally play the matchup strengths here. You know, Hezonja had a nice game at the three last night because that's what you do with New York. You attack the three and the four. So there it is. Hezonja has a nice game, right? I don't mind Vooch here, strangely enough. 20 minutes for him against the Knicks. Limited run, but we should be able to see him get geared up for 30 minutes against Dallas. By the way, Dallas without Nerlens Noel because of that suspension, so you're going to probably see a good amount in the front court of Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber, so long as Salah Mejiri is out. I believe Salah Mejiri was ruled out, or he was out a couple games ago. Anyway, but Dwight Powell Maxi Kleber. Those guys are interesting to me in the front court as well. You see what I'm saying? You're playing with a little bit of fire in this slate. It's a little bit risky. 76ers are in Detroit. This one is a 213 total. This game is actually relatively clear because Detroit has not decided that they should throw their season away. Good for them, I guess. Philadelphia has an opportunity to tie themselves with Cleveland for the three seed in the East. Go ahead and let that sink in. Ben Simmons is so scary. They were up by 21 against Brooklyn in the third quarter, and JoJo isn't playing. Dario isn't playing. That was with like Rashawn Holmes, Amir Johnson, and Ersan Ilyasova, Marco Bellinelli. What's the common denominator? You have an elite creator in Ben Simmons. He's like a like one of those bug lights. Everybody just comes towards him, right? Death. He's a bug light. So good. Anyway, Detroit. I don't really want to play any of them. But this is a top five defense in efficiency. I'm not that interested in these guys, except for Andre Drummond. We attack the center position when there is no Embiid in the lineup, and there is no Embiid in the lineup. And I think Drummond is a very interesting play to me. On the Philadelphia side, all the starters are in play again. You are going to see Simmons. He only played 25 minutes, 37 fantasy points, 25 minutes. Detroit will be able to keep this a little bit closer. We are attacking the point guard against this team. No problem with Simmons whatsoever. Get after it. Definitely interested in him. Bob Cove, not so much. I mean, he had five steals. That's why you saw that 42-point line. He shot 4-for-11 from the field. You take away a couple of those steals, you don't have a very clear floor. Listen, steals and blocks are ceiling. They add ceiling. They're not projectable. That is hard. So you take guys who are capable of them and you project potential for ceiling, but you cannot add them to their floor. You use points for floor, right? And that's why Bob Cove has such a low floor, because he can't score fucking points. Now, Ersan can. 30 minutes, 30 points last night. Had a great game. Rashawn Holmes, he played the whole fourth quarter. He got the advantage of the blowout there. I would not be surprised if you see him and Amir split 24 minutes tomorrow night. I always prefer Holmes. I think he's more athletic. I think he's more capable. Amir, you know, back in the day was interesting. But I think it's still Ersan, and it's still Ben Simmons for me on this team. That's where I'm headed for sure. Boston is going to Toronto. Rematch here. Rematch. This is going to be a lot of fun. We don't have a total just yet, and that's because we're waiting to see that Terry Rozier will play. Toronto drops one to Cleveland last night. Cleveland very strong up and through the fourth quarter. Toronto made a little bit of a run, but they were able to hold them off. You know, obviously the Boston point guard rotation was a mess, and you got 22 minutes of Kadeem Allen. I'm not going to touch Kadeem Allen. I'm not touching that. He's not very good. He's not a slated point guard. They don't have him in the rotation for a reason. He gets 22 minutes. He scores 11 fantasy points. It's not their best lineup. You know, Brad Stevens knows that. I believe Terry Rozier will play. He was marked as probable. And then I think they decided to say, let's take one more day of rest. Let's get you ready for the Toronto game and not worry about the back-to-back here. So I like Terry Rozier in this spot. He played very well against Toronto earlier there on the back-to-back. It's actually been a spot for him as well. I don't mind Jason Tatum. I don't think they'll restrict him. He's young enough. He's been over 30 points in every single game since in the last five. He seems to find his rhythm pretty well here. I don't mind Marcus Morris either. I think these guys are high floor type plays. I think they're interesting. I think that this is kind of where maybe you get some of your grout type guys. High floor, reliable. There's some clear outcome possibilities in a competitive game where these guys are going to play 30 plus minutes. Now on the Toronto side, it's the same. You know, Kyle Lowry, Kyle Lowry played terrible last night, which is part of the reason why you go down to Cleveland and you can't come back. You know, if your point guard, who is one of your best scorers, goes 2 for 11 from the field, you know that's going to be a bad night. And so you expect a bounce back from Lowry here. That's kind of where I'm at with that. I would expect a bounce back situation. I like DeMar as well, although this is a really tough matchup for him, and they're going to bottle him up. He is certainly, a very capable scorer in this situation. And as far as competition, he's not going to shy away from it. He went 12 for 19 from the field against them earlier and had 51 fantasy points. So I have no problem with that either. But that's probably the extent of it. But like I said, the appeal of this game is really that these two teams are going to compete. And you're going to get clear rotations. You're going to get a competitive game all the way through. And that alone makes rostering anybody in this game more appealing than, you know, Dallas, Orlando. Memphis is going to New Orleans, and this is a 215 total here. And New Orleans is favored by 13 points at home. Obviously, yes, we're going to want some New Orleans shares. What do you do with the New Orleans rotation? Well, obviously, I think the whole world is going to be able to play Anthony Davis. One, there's enough value. Two, there's a very clear usage and outcome here. Three, Memphis is terrible. So no problem with Anthony Davis. It's a little bit of a high price tag, and I have no problem if you can find a lineup that doesn't have him. I think that there is a lineup that doesn't have him that's viable. And it involves, you know, Ben Simmons and Kyle Lowry, or maybe Ben Simmons and DeMar DeRozan and that kind of thing. So I like that. But AD at home, multiple days rest, bad Memphis defense. You know, the most viable defender is Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol actually probably will struggle with Anthony Davis in this situation a little bit, but the rest of the team can't guard him. So, you know, no problem going to AD in this situation. The rest of the rotation, let's figure out whether or not, the wrist is going to be an issue for Rondo. It wasn't in the last two games. It shouldn't be here. I like Rondo in this spot. I like Drew Holiday in this spot. So no problem with the core of the Pelicans, even though it could definitely be a blowout. They have the rest advantage here against Memphis, and Memphis is so banged up and so bad and such a disaster of an organization right now. Memphis, we have Marshawn Brooks questionable. Who's Marshawn Brooks? You don't need to know. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Wayne Seldon out. Andrew Harrison out. Jamichael Green out. Thin rotation here in Memphis that consists of Kobe Simmons at the point guard. And Tyreke Evans has been out basically for a long time. Somebody's sick. Man, that makes me sad. Mario Chalmers also out. At least I believe he's out. I don't know if it's an injury or if it's just they're ruling him out. So let's see who they plan on playing. My guess is it's going to be a whole lot of Kobe Simmons and Ben McLemore, along with Dylan Brooks and Jarrell Martin. That's your core four there. Wayne Seldon will also, yeah, he's also out. So that's going to free up the guard rotation. These are some of your value guys. And listen, there's going to be points scored and there's going to be garbage time in the fourth quarter. And that is all. And you can play garbage time guys against New Orleans, garbage time guys too. So, God, this is rough. Spurs at the Lakers. We have no total just yet for this one. We have no total probably because we don't completely know what the Spurs will do off the back-to-back. But more importantly, we actually have some potential injuries for the Lakers. Of course, Lonzo is questionable. Brandon Ingram questionable with the concussion and the knee. We didn't have any updates since yesterday. They were out yesterday. We'll see if they're out today. I would guess. I wouldn't necessarily think they're going to force this issue down the stretch here if these guys are struggling, you know. So what are you going to see from the Lakers? You're going to see probably plenty of Josh Hart. You're going to see some Alex Caruso. You're going to see plenty of KCP. You are going to see Kuz, Randall, Brolo. Brolo played 27 last night against Utah and got demolished by Rudy Gobert. So the real question is what Spurs do you go to? Because you know they have the advantage here. What Spurs do you like? Who do you think that they play after they just played the back-to-back? But now this is a tricky back-to-back, right? This is in LA. They stay in the same facility. They played the Clippers last night. They just switched the banners, and now it's going to be a Lakers game. Deontay Murray played 25. He could play 30. If he plays 30, then I love him. I don't know if he's going to play 30. Patty Mills has been playing 30. That's an interesting spot. Danny Green has been playing almost 30. He's in an interesting spot. Kyle Anderson is in an interesting spot. Rudy Gay has been hyper efficient with his minutes. In 20 minutes, he's been able to score quite a bit off the bench. And of course, LaMarcus Aldridge wins tournaments. People don't play him enough. A lot of people don't play him. They just don't see him as sexy. They see him as a spur. It's a low total. The algorithms don't like him. But you understand the usage and the output as a fantasy player, and you realize he's insane. I don't think he's going to play 35 minutes again, though. And that worries me. That bothers me. Who gets those minutes? Maybe it's Pau. And that, I think, is interesting to me, is this potential for Pau to be in here and play 24 minutes. Pau Gasol, 24 minutes against the Lakers, against Brook Lopez. That is interesting to me. I think this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. You've got to play some of these hunches, I think. And there's no, I mean, that is a hunch of all hunches. Like, I'm telling you, Pau Gasol might play. That's a hunch. I have no reason to believe that. There's not a lot of good evidence except for that the Spurs back-to-back, LaMarcus played 37 minutes. You have Pau at only 10 minutes. He could play an extra 14 minutes to give LaMarcus a little bit of relief, get him down to 28 minutes or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of things to consider here. Let's wait for news on the Lakers, and we'll see how we want to deal with them. But a couple kind of core, I think there's going to be some core pieces to build around with New Orleans playing relevant basketball and with the 76ers, the Boston, Toronto, Detroit, though all those teams are playing relatively competent, relevant basketball. So you have a couple teams that you can concentrate on and build around, and we'll go from there. Let's go into the player breakdown. Who do you love? All right, so highest price point guard here that we want to get involved with is Kyle Lowry. He struggled last night. 33 minutes, excuse me, not 33 minutes. He had 28 minutes against Cleveland, went 2 for 11 from the field, only 15 fantasy points. Listen, when Kyle Lowry can't score, this team is going to struggle. And George Hill bottled him up, gave him a hard time. And that has been a thing. That has been a thing. George Hill has really made this matchup for opposing backcourts an issue. He's been very good out there, and taken away a lot from point guards and shooting guards. You saw the gap in difference between performance of Lowry and DeRozan. DeRozan definitely had the better game. Now, last time out against Boston, Lowry only had 26. The thing that I'm looking at here, though, is, okay, minutes, yes, there, check. Usage, yes, check. Do we know that he has a peripheral ceiling? Yes. And we saw him shoot poorly. 4 for 13 and 2 for 11. You're talking about six. He went 6 for 24 from the field. Okay, shooting 25% from the field. This is a career guy who's been much closer to 40% on just on threes alone. You're going to see a little bit of positive regression here, and if he can get himself a little bit of positive regression, then he can certainly make good on what is a reasonable salary on a thin slate, and you could get a nice high floor performance from an $8,100 player. Now, do I want to prioritize him? No, I would prioritize someone like Ben Simmons. I may even prioritize someone like Drew Holiday over him in those price ranges. But I think that it's interesting to go to Kyle Lowry here at 8,100. I don't think it's a bad idea. Okay, moving over to shooting guard, Drew Holiday. I just talked about him. I mentioned him briefly. 8,800 here. He is going to be at home versus Memphis. This has been a phenomenal, absolute smash spot to go up against Memphis in the backcourt. And we know Holiday has been absolutely electric. And frankly, he's the kind of guy who can break a slate. In the last 10 games, we have seen two big games from opposing shooting guards against Memphis, both from C.J. McCollum. We've seen massive performances from guys like Andrew Wiggins, Jeremy Lamb, Royce O'Neal. So I think that Drew Holiday will be chalky. Even though it's, you know, a tight slate, I want to get him involved. I mean, you're looking at what he did against Oklahoma City. He went 34 minutes, only shot 4 for 10 from the field, and still had 42. You have to like that from Holiday. We know he's a capable scorer. We know he's going to be on the floor for 30 minutes. 30 minutes against this terrible Memphis team. Absolutely love it. He scored 50 last time out against them and 36 in a previous matchup. So I'll take it. I'll take a projection of 40 and say, okay, I feel comfortable with the 35 as the floor. I know that he has a 50-point ceiling and a very, very likely ceiling, and I think that he is kind of a good way to hedge with Anthony Davis in the same lineup, because you could have Anthony Davis in the lineup and you could say, well, shit, it was a blowout. Well, why was it a blowout? It's a blowout because Drew Holiday scored 22 points in the first half, you know, something like that. And all of a sudden you've created a hedge situation for yourself where you have kind of installed a small safety net by having both of them in the same lineup. So speaking of Anthony Davis, he's the highest priced player on the slate. I don't think people will have a problem fitting him in. He's 12-3. Everything's there. I mean, it's all the same what we expect. The ceiling has not quite been as insane, and that would be to, you know, kind of expected. You have to get the competitive game. You have to get the extraordinarily high total. You know, you have to try to get like what is, when I say playoff Anthony Davis, we don't really know what that is. But usage rate nearly 30%, minutes above 35, 1.5 plus fantasy points per minute. He hasn't been there in the last two games against Cleveland and OKC. The Cleveland game was weird to me. I can't really explain what happened there, except for that he wasn't really needed in a couple different stretches to do scoring. They were scoring around him a lot with him on the floor. They weren't getting him involved. I couldn't really – I was watching it, and it just felt like he wasn't, you know, dominating every possession, and that kind of made you feel personally angry because I love him. But anyway, he had 42 in one game here. Like, so, okay, so this is why you play him and Drew in the same lineup, right? He had 42 in a game against Memphis. Drew had 50 in that game. Okay. So there's good logic to playing the two of them together, because Drew has the ability to outscore him, and where you attack Memphis traditionally is on the wing. You don't necessarily want to attack them in the paint. But then again, it's just a totally different paint now. I mean, it's just not the same. 24 minutes of Marcus Gasol is not going to get the job done. That's not the same defense, and Anthony Davis is not going to be stopped by Deontay Davis and Jarrell Martin. Like, this is a good team scheme. They protect the rim. They pack it in. But not that worried about AD versus Memphis. However, I do like two other power forwards here. Ben Simmons versus Detroit specifically is one guy that I do want to prioritize. He's been unbelievable. We saw it last night. He scores 37 in just 25 minutes. Ridiculous. Last time he played 30, he scored 66. Detroit is a great matchup for point guards, and we have seen that trend develop. He has one of the better matchups as far as efficiency plus minus on the slate. And you're going to want to get involved in this point guard trend. It's been plus 8% over the last 10 games, a 2-point boost here for opposing point guards. You know, 45 for Lonzo, for example, 42 for Jamal Murray, 55 for Damian Lillard. Eric Gordon had a nice game. So you have basically every talented point guard performing above average in this situation. And this grades out as the point guard matchup number. Yeah, it's above average. There's actually a lot of good point guard matchups here on this slate. So, you know, I love Simmons. And you know, I'm going to prioritize him at power forward, knowing that he's going to be running the point there. LMA versus the Lakers. If I knew he was going to play 35 minutes, if there was just one day off, I would lock him in. I might prioritize him over AD just because the matchup is so good. And Marcus is so good. And it takes it. It's really strange. And it's because the models don't like him that much. I don't get it, but he continues to smash. We're talking about in the last five games, he's gone over 40 in four of the last five, twice over 50. The only one that's under is Washington game where he left with that tweaked ankle. You know, this matchup against this is exactly where you want to attack the Lakers at the four and at the five. Do I worry a little bit about minutes? Do I worry about pace? Do I worry about, you know, the back-to-back? Those are all the things that you have to be concerned with here for Aldridge in this situation. And that is enough to make me kind of say, huh. However, the matchup is extremely juicy. It's the second best matchup as far as front court efficiency plus minus. You're looking at the best matchup as far as power forward plus minus, and you know, an average to plus matchup for centers. We know he's going to play between the four and the five. You guys know what his game looks like. It's not a traditional center back to the basket type game. It's a little bit different. So I like LaMarcus here. I just think he's risky because of the minutes. He's not risky because of the quality of player and the matchup. He's risky because of the rotations and the coaching decisions. So that's my concern there. I think an underrated center play, an underrated way to spend your money tonight is going to be on Andre Drummond. He's 10K and he's coming off a number multiple nights of rest. He will get a Joel Embiid-less front court against, against Philadelphia. And listen, they're not the same team as they were earlier in the season. They're much better as just a team unit. But I will say, with Joel Embiid, they are an absolutely brutal matchup for centers. But that gets a lot easier without Embiid on the floor. For example, Dwayne Dedman in the first game with Joel Embiid out scores 35 fantasy points. You can perform against this team without Embiid there. With Embiid there, it's almost impossible to have high quality games. I mean, they've created one of the best team defenses around him there. That is not something I want to attack. But without Embiid there, I love Drummond in this situation. And I think that, you know, you have a pivot of 10K at a position where there is some value. I love the high floor that you're going to get from Drummond. You're going to get potentially 40 fantasy points here. He's performed even decently well against this team with Embiid in the lineup. You know, he had one game earlier this season with 53. So you can see the high floor potential, and I could see 50 from him easily here in this situation without Embiid to create issues for his scoring. So Andre Drummond, I think, is an interesting way to spend your money tonight. Let's go over to the grout plays here. Anything 9K and below, which is pretty thin. But let's start at the point guard position. At the point guard position, Dragic had 44 last night. So frustrating because it's such a projectable matchup. It's such an easy thing to see from a mile away. Atlanta has been a phenomenal matchup for point guards, for opposing point guards. He only went out for 28 minutes, which is really, really strange. So you got to think maybe he can play, you know, they gave Tyler Johnson the ball down the stretch. You got to think that he could play again 30 plus here. Or at least 30 and put up a similar number, plus minus, it's the best matchup on the slate. We've seen the big games, over the last over the last 10. We know that Atlanta has allowed some of the most big games on the season. Plus 9% as far as the matchup advantage goes here in the last 10 games in this stretch, plus 3 fantasy points. You're averaging 38 points against this, this position. So Ben Simmons went for 50. DJ Augustine had 32. Ricky Rubio had 36. Kemba, Bledsoe both had 40. You can go right back to Gorin as a high floor play, and I think he's interesting. I think the box score chasers will follow that 44 point outing against the exact same team and say, let's go for it. He is on the road, doesn't worry me. I like that he only played 28 minutes. That is appealing to me. I think he's a much more safe high floor type play than some of the other guys involved. Now, I do like Terry Rozier. I'm not going to lie. 7,300 for Terry. He didn't play yesterday, but I think he'll play tonight. I think I think we're going to get an update here at Shoot Around that he is probable for this evening. Makes sense that they sit him out against Milwaukee and then they play him against Toronto. He played 37 minutes. He got a fantasy point per minute and 37 fantasy points last time out against this team. And that's exactly what his averages have been. He's been over 32 minutes. He's been at 36 fantasy points in the last 5 and exactly 1 fantasy point per minute. That's been about his average without Kyrie on the floor. We haven't really seen him have any duds either. Ever since he's been getting over 28 minutes since the beginning of March, he hasn't dropped below 25 fantasy points in any of these performances. So you got to like Scary Terry's floor. You got to like the ability, to push on this matchup. And strangely enough, it has been a matchup that has actually been exploitable. Starting point guards versus the Raptors has actually been a thing. In the last 3 games, we've seen them yield 2 big ones and 1 monster game. Jose Calderon last night had a massive, massive performance of 37 fantasy points, which is just absolutely unbelievable. Someone won a tournament with Jose Calderon last night somewhere in the world. It's strange, but then again, makes sense. Kyle Lowry has a tendency with his age to break down over time. He only played 26 minutes last night, but Terry Rozier sat out completely. So you have fresh legs Terry against Kyle Lowry, who has struggled here. I think you can go back to him and see him as a high floor 25 plus to 35 point play with a ceiling. And we know he does have a ceiling, and we have seen that from him. Do I think he have a ceiling against Toronto? Not particularly, but I mean, if Jose Calderon can do it, can Terry score 45? Sure. With fresh legs? Yeah, sure. Especially if he gets 38 minutes, They need this one too. They lost to Milwaukee. They need that one. So that is definitely a game that I will feel comfortable rostering a lot of the key starting pieces, and Terry Rozier being one of them. DeMar DeRozan on the opposite side should be on our list, especially as one of the shooting guards that I think you can comfortably fit in at 7,900. That's just a phenomenal price. I think a lot of people will play him here. 34 minutes on average, 37 fantasy points and a 30% usage. Boston, we don't want to attack them at the shooting guard position, but DeRozan has had a nice game here. He just had 51 against them. Box score chasers will notice that. They'll go after it. That's fine. He is a high floor play in a competitive game who's not going to, he's not going to have a dud. He had 30 points out here last time. I think fantasy point per minute is a minimum of what you get from DeRozan down in this stretch. He's, he has a playoff gear. We've seen him. He has the ability to compete in these situations. I don't care necessarily that the matchup is not perfect. You get a discount a little bit at price. You're asking him for just over 35. Very reasonable. Very reasonable. He played plenty of minutes last night, but I don't really see Dwayne Casey resting him. I don't see a situation in which he plays less than 33 minutes. I feel good about that. The back-to-back doesn't scare me. Casey has no problem playing his guys. He's a little bit old school in that. If the guys say they can go, he trusts them and he lets them go. So DeRozan for me, very, very, very appealing. I think a lot of people will be on him for his price and actually the lack of talent that's at the shooting guard position. I think you can look at Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown has played well. He struggled against Toronto here. But he's had some nice games. It's hard to figure out when he's going to play well. That's my problem. I don't really know what makes a good night for Jaylen Brown beyond his shot is falling. And I don't know when his shot's going to fall. I don't know. We don't really know what situations are good for Jaylen Brown. When you score 19 points against the Suns and then 33 and nail a game winner against the Jazz, you kind of leave me, that's a little bit of a head scratcher, right? Like, especially when you could barely perform against the Kings and the Bulls. Like, when does Jaylen Brown score? I don't know. So he's interesting, but I think Jason Tatum would be the guy, especially at small forward with not a lot of guys in this range. Jason Tatum is interesting and a little bit more consistent and more projectable. $6,600 for him, a very, very reasonable price for a guy who has been nailing that 5X basically over the last five games. He has been well above 32 minutes. He has basically not dropped below 25 fantasy points. You're getting similar range of outcomes with a lower ceiling. I think with a lower ceiling than Scary Terry, but similar range of outcomes over 30 and four of the last five. He is very consistently a fantasy point per minute. He's very consistently putting up anywhere between 12 to 18 shots. An average of 14 attempts over the last five. His usage is at 25%. He's consistent. We know where he is. He's going to add a couple blocks, a couple steals, a couple rebounds. I like that. I don't love the matchup with Toronto at the three. OG Anunoby is not a small person, and that complicates things, and he struggled against them in a massive way earlier this year to the tune of only four fantasy points. But I think that he's being relied on here. He's playing well enough that I can go back to him comfortably and expect him to make a return on the 30 plus minutes. Josh Richardson, slow start, good finish against Atlanta. Saved the day kind of late there with 26 fantasy points. Was really, really struggling in the first half and then kind of came through in the clutch towards the end. So I would feel comfortable going back to him. I know that sounds kind of crazy, and I know a lot of people will say, no, we're not doing that. I expect Josh Richardson to play probably 28 minutes here. Justice Winslow is just as appealing. I would say there's going to be a little bit of a downside, but there's something about a player who struggles in the first half of a back-to-back. The second half of the back-to-back, he bounces in and really blows up. He scored 47 against this team. So I do think that he is capable of... I do think that he's capable of that ceiling again. I like this spot for him. I think on some of these smaller slates, it is underrated to take high floor plays, right? Last night you had so much value. You go stars and scrubs, whereas the reverse strategy is clear here. You have a lot of very volatile matchups and situations, so you take the safe player with the high floor. And I think that makes sense for Josh Richardson at $6,200. He fits that profile to me. Moving over to the power forward position, there's not much here. John Collins had a nice game last night. I don't think they're going to play the rookie who's had some injury issues 30 plus minutes against a back-to-back here. That worries me. That just scares me. I think that that's a guy that I would be concerned about. Ibaka, I think, could have a nice game here. He had a nice one. Marcus Morris falls into a similar category for me. High floor type plays. Not a ton to like, which I think forces you to pay up at this position. I think there is some value in guys like Dwight Powell. But Maxi Kleber, but like you're probably going to go high low, or maybe you're going to try to take two of these guys here, and then fill out some of the value in the rest of your lineup. So not a ton that I love in this mid-range. Not a ton that I love. I think Marcus Morris and Serge Ibaka are those two high, kind of high floor profile plays. Randall versus San Antonio. If he was cheaper, I would say yes. If he was in the 6Ks, I would say yes. And same with Kuzma. I think it's just too much of a price to pay against the Spurs. It worries me. They're not going to have any pace. And they, you know, they've been playing a ton. So you could see them really just go 4X and totally flop. At the center position, I'm interested in going to Nikola Vucevic. Now, I realize he's not 9K or below. He's 9'3", but I love the matchup with Dallas at the center position. No Nerlens Noel doesn't really change much for me, but you've been able to attack this team on and off at the center, you know, for a while this year. And I don't think necessarily tonight is going to be any different. Nurk went out last night, struggled a little bit. And you know, just 30 fantasy points across 27 minutes. But we saw a nice game from Karl Anthony Towns the other night, a nice game from Brolo, a nice game from Willie Cauley-Stein, Dwight Howard. You know, so there is definitely some possibility for a high-quality matchup. For Vucevic against Dallas here, he only played 20 minutes. That's part of why I like him. You could see him play 30 here and really have a nice game. So Vuce is a guy with a ceiling that I think people may not necessarily play. I mean, his is a 40-plus point player in four of the last five games, with the exception of last night, where he only played 20 minutes, which clearly sets him up to play 30 tonight. Against Dallas, 30 minutes, that equals 40 fantasy points for Nikola Vucevic. So I think he is a really interesting way to spend 9K on this slate. Definitely a good way to go. Moving over to, some of these other guys, I want to say Whiteside is interesting. I just can't say that. Who knows how much he's been super efficient, but 27 minutes this time around, does that mean that he gets the 20 minute side of the stick and Olynyk gets 30 minutes, right? I don't necessarily know. I don't trust it. It worries me. I think Brolo is probably your best bet, as strange as that sounds. And that's not really a very good endorsement. So I do think people will probably end up paying up for centers here. Or searching for some kind of value. And I think Pau Gasol might be that guy. Speaking of value, let's talk about it a little bit. 5,500 and below. Listen, I didn't mention Deontay Murray. I want to play Deontay Murray. This is a good matchup. He's 6,600. I forgot, but it scares me. I don't know how to project him. And so you talk about Goran Dragic, much more projectable. Terry Rozier, as long as he plays, much more projectable. Rajon Rondo, similarly, 6,300. He is a very good play. The only guys in the value tier here that you can go to, I think, are Patty Mills, potentially, and then the Dallas guys. And I don't really know. I think, it's J.J. Barea, followed by Yogi Ferrell, and then possibly Aaron Harrison, but let's wait to see what kind of news we get about these guys. Cause I don't know who's going to play what. I don't know who's going to start. I don't know if there's any clear rotations. Hopefully one of them sits out. Then we would get a much clearer understanding of who's going to play the majority of the minutes. At the shooting guard position, Jaylen Brown, I mentioned him. He's 5,500. It's a reasonable price. Don't know what kind of outcome you're going to get. JJ Redick is interesting at the shooting guard there. He's 5K. He's been playing well without Joel Embiid in the lineup. If this game goes four quarters, he's going to have to play and score. I like that. You have all the Memphis guys too. McLemore probably will play some serious minutes here against New Orleans on the wing. 29 minutes last time out against Portland. Kobe Simmons is also going to be a chalky value play at 3,600. He's going to play the point guard against New Orleans. We know that's been a good matchup. Simmons definitely in play for me. At 5,500 and below, it's small forward. Justice Winslow, you can go back. If you want to risk everything, risk your livelihood. Dylan Brooks has been scoring a ton of points for Memphis. He has a ceiling. He also has a dismal, destructive, and terrifying floor of 5 points. So be careful what you wish for with Brooks. I wish I wish I could tell you anything except for he's a hunch. And he's hard to project. He's a rookie. He's good, but he's not perfect. You know, it's hard to understand exactly what you're going to get out of him. Rudy Gay is interesting. 4,500 for Rudy Gay, I think, in tournaments is interesting. He's been super efficient, very, very effective with a couple steals here and there, scoring. 24 minutes of him against the Lakers is pretty nice. If you think about it, he did 26, he did 25 fantasy points against them last time out. He has a really high ceiling because of his ability to score multiple fantasy points per minute. He's one of those bench guys like a David West or, these hyper-efficient bench guys, Montrezl Harrell. Like, they come in, their objective is to score. They're offensive-minded players, and they get 20 minutes to do it. And he's one of them. So he is interesting. You could see him get a little bit more run off the back-to-back here. At the power forward, you know, I mentioned Ibaka and Morris. They're right there at 57 and 5,500. I think that they are reasonable. Ersan, though, 5K, he's going to play a whole lot. You got to have some Ersan in there. Jarrell Martin is the other guy who's going to play. Dwight Powell is going to play 4K versus Orlando. I think Dwight Powell is probably one of the more appealing ones, as well as Maxi Kleber. Maxi Kleber has been playing more minutes than Dwight Powell. That's weird. But he's been really productive with them. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens. At the center position, not much. Not much, right? Like, you're risking a lot. But I think it's Pau Gasol, potentially. Dwayne Dedman, maybe, if he goes. I don't know what the deal is with the ribs. We'll see. He might not play. If he plays, then I think he's interesting. But he's 6,200. So center may be actually a position where people pay up quite a bit tonight. So let's go over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup. Let's go ahead and assume that you're going to take some of these chalky values. Kobe Simmons, for example, I think is an easy one. You're going to probably want another piece of that Memphis rotation. But do you want to sacrifice two shooting guard positions for Ben McLemore and Kobe Simmons? That just makes me sad to say out loud. If we get maybe, if you get Mario Chalmers, I guess you could play him. I think Dylan Brooks is interesting at small forward as well. I think he could be the guy that you play. You're going to want a little bit of this massive black hole of usage against New Orleans and a decently high total. So, okay, fine. Let's take Dylan Brooks. Let's take Kobe Simmons. Let's deal with that. Let's maybe take at the power forward position, either the Kleber or Dwight Powell against Orlando. I like that matchup. They're cheap. I mean, you could also take Ersan there. That's not a problem. But you're going to want to save one of those spots for Simmons, I think. I'm going to take Simmons. So let's take Simmons and let's take, for the moment, let's take Ersan, because he's going to be more restrictive to build with a 5K player, and we'll see where we get. I'm going to want a prime price center. I'm going to go to Vooch. I think he's interesting here. I would like a point guard. I think you're going to want some high floor plays. Lowry is appealing, but I do like Dragic and Rondo. I do like Deontay Murray as well. So maybe actually let's go off of Dragic and let's go to Murray. There's a huge floor with Murray and Rondo as your point guards. It's just massive holes in the floor. And then I have 7,500 for a small forward and a shooting guard. Let's look at, I think this could work, actually. Let's see if I can do... I can't do Drew. Oh, I wanted to do Drew. I can do Drew and Josh Richardson. That's interesting. So this is an interesting way to start. I don't know if this is how I'll stay, but Deontay Murray, Rajon Rondo, Kobe Simmons, Drew Holiday, Dylan Brooks, Josh Richardson, Ben Simmons, Ersan, Nikola Vucevic. Now, very easy to make this lineup even more stars and scrubs centered. Let's see if I can get to that. Real quick, I'll show you guys what that might look like. If I go up to Drum, if I go to Anthony Davis, I can actually, Simmons, Davis, Drummond, and Holiday in one lineup. This is going to get a little bit tight. I need almost a min price. I need some min price type plays at the point guard position. Tyler Dorsey, maybe. I don't know if actually you can do this. Let me see. I would probably spend down at the point guard position. Makes this a lot easier. Small forward. Okay. Yeah. So if I get off of Drew, then it makes life a lot easier. Actually, let's get off of Vucevic. Let's go on to Vucevic. That might help me save a little bit of money as well. Shooting guard, Josh Hart. Ugh, God, that's, I don't like this. I don't like it. I don't like the Simmons and Davis build is hard. I'll build it out and give you guys the best shot. Winslow, shooting guard two is going to be, I don't want to go back to Danny Green. That worries, or excuse me, Damian Lee. That worries me. Let's go to Ben McLemore here, 3,800. And then I have 6K per point guard. Probably go JJ Barea and I don't know how, you know, I mean, that's the other thing. You kind of have, you're going to want one of those Dallas point guards. You just need to figure out who it is. DJ Barea and Deontay Murray at 300 left. We'll see what happens there. So this is kind of a rough Simmons, Davis, Vucevic lineup, which actually now if I played with it, I think I would actually start to get a little bit more intrigued if you tweak it a little bit and modify some of the plays a little bit. But Barea, Deontay Murray, Kobe Simmons, Bam McLemore, Dylan Brooks, Justice Winslow, Ben Simmons, Anthony Davis, Nikola Vucevic. So, and you could very easily make this, Drummond as well. You just need $700 and that's not hard to find amongst these point guards here. Yeah, complicated, but a weird slate. Play light. Do me a favor, play light. There's going to be some landmines out here. There's going to be some total landmines. Play light and diversify. Guys, good luck. I will see you tomorrow.